Corinthians chapter 6, please, in your Bibles tonight. 1 Corinthians 6 in your Bibles tonight. I want to speak to you tonight on a subject of glorifying God. And I want to speak to you on two areas that the Bible says glorify God in our life. The two areas that glorify God in our life. We're going to begin verse 19 and verse 20 tonight. I don't want you to think about the weather, but I have the weather in the back of my mind tonight. And I checked before the service came on, and there is some weather coming. And it's down in Lawton. It's on the way. So I'm going to do my best. If you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast, okay? So you open your ears and clean out all that wax or whatever's in there, amen. And we're going to get at the sermon tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 19. Notice a familiar verse, but I want to focus on verse 20. Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And notice the next phrase, ye are not your own. You're not your own. Verse 20, ye are bought, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for the word tonight. God, we need your help tonight as we open the Bible and as we preach thy word tonight, as we desire to hear from heaven. I pray tonight you just open our hearts and our minds tonight to the word that's given tonight. I pray you'd speak to some person's heart tonight, God, and put a truth indelibly into their heart and their mind that, Lord, would not escape, but, Lord, would remain. And so, Lord, we pray tonight you'll take thy word, bless it, speak to our hearts in this time we have in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 19, it's a question that really shocks the Lord. Notice he says, what? You ever said that to somebody? What? What, God says? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Ye are not your own. Now, God said we're not our own. When God saved you, he moved inside of you and he took up ownership. You lost control of you when you got saved. And there is a new resident that moved in. When I got married, I noticed that there was a new resident that moved into the house. It suddenly got clean. It suddenly got different. Amen? It suddenly got a whole lot better. And I realized I wasn't the owner of this house in the same way anymore. There was some other ownership that was going involved in that when we got married. And it's similar when you get saved. Scripture teaches you're not your own anymore, you're God's. Now, that should be something that every Christian realizes, because he states in verse 20, he says, for you're bought with a price. You see, you're not your own, and I'm not my own, because God bought and paid for you. The purchase price of redemption was the price that God came in to own us. And through that price, he paid for you and me. So consequently, we're not our own anymore. We belong to God. Now, can I tell you, this is the opposite of how a lot of Christians act in the world in which we live today. This is the opposite of how many Christians are and they act. They think that they still own themselves. I got news for you. When you got saved, you got a new owner. God said he bought you and he paid for you with a price, and that price was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. That price that Christ paid and paid for you is a price of ownership. And when he moved in, he said, all right, now I own you, and you have to yield yourself to him. I don't think a lot of Christians have figured that out yet. I don't think a lot of Christians really understand that. I don't think a lot of Christians really have a heart that allows God to own them. But that's exactly what the Bible teaches. God is not saying you're not your own anymore. He made that clear. Ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. Now, there's a purpose why God bought us for a price. And that purpose is found twofold in the rest of that verse. And I want you to see it. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Notice, you're bought with a price. Now, notice the word therefore. Now, somebody once said, if you ever see the word therefore in the Bible, stop and see what it's there for. Amen? The word therefore means because you are bought with a price, because God saved you and paid for you and me with his precious blood, he said, therefore, we're supposed to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are his. You don't own you anymore. You're not your own anymore. You know, a lot of Christians think that they're still their own. They still think that I'm me, I'm in control of me. Let me tell you something. You're not. God owns you. And because he owns you, we're supposed to glorify God in two ways. He said, number one, in your body. He said, number two, in your spirit. Your body and your spirit. My body is supposed to be controlled by the Lord. Now, can I tell you, we have this idea, and it's a false idea, and I think the devil came up with it and put it in people's minds, that it doesn't matter how you live in your body. What matters is what counts on the inside. Can I tell you, that statement is a direct insult against the nature of God. Because God moved inside of us. God bought us with a price to cause our physical body, this skin and bone, this flesh, to be under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do in our body is for the purpose and intent of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can I tell you, there's a lot of things in this that Christians have, and I just want to pay my respects to some things that I believe are important to glorify God in your body. Can I tell you something? You may not believe this, and I'll get some criticism for this message, but you know the Bible teaches that your hair can either glorify God or not glorify God. Your hair, that's the stuff on top. Amen? If you have any up there, amen? It's there. Can I tell you what God said about your hair? Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just a few pages over. 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? Can I tell you, you can glorify God by having your hair short. That's for men. Men should have short hair. You know what that means? Get a haircut. And keep a haircut. Amen? You say, God doesn't care about my hair. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. And then God went on to further distinguish that the hair pleases God or it doesn't. Amen? You say, how do I please God? You know, he said, even doth not even nature itself teach you? Go look to a lion. How many ever seen a lion go to a barber shop? You ever seen a lion go to a barber shop? They don't do it. You know why? Because they're wild. You know, I believe when a man grows his hair long, it's an offense to God. Because he's patterning himself after nature and not after the control of the Holy Spirit inside of him. Amen? God teaches how short haircut. You say, how short is short? Here we go. Amen. How short is short? Well, can I tell you, you know when it's short. And you know when it's long. But I'll tell you, a good guide is whenever it's off your ears, off your collar and back. I believe that's a good guide. A good guide to keeping your hair to where it glorifies God. When a person starts growing their hair long, by the way, Absalom would have been alive a whole lot longer had he not had a bunch of long hippie hair. Amen. Absalom would have lived around a lot longer, but man, he got stuck in the tree because of his hair. You say, preacher, God don't care about your hair. Let me tell you something. Read your Bible. That's what God said. Let me tell you something. By the way, it also talks about ladies' hair. Notice what it says here. I got to get over there. Verse 15, but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her. For her hair is given for a covering. It's good for ladies to have long hair, and it's not right for men to have short hair. You know what we see in the world today? The opposite. Men have long hair and the ladies shave their hair off. Can I tell you? God wants a Christian to glorify God in their body. That's in their hair. Amen. You say, well, that's pretty nitpicky. Well, take it up with God. He's the one to put it in His Word. Amen. If you think God's a nitpicky God, then you go to Him and say, God, you're nitpicky. And I guarantee He'll look at you and say, I got news for you. You're supposed to glorify me in your body and your spirit. Your hair. Can I say another thing? I don't think guys ought to be wearing earrings. I don't think guys ought to be wearing earrings. It used to mean the guy had one in his left ear. It used to mean he was gay. I even hate using that word. But it used to mean that. Now, who knows what it means? I have no idea. Hey. And by the way, don't print yourself up with tattoos either. Listen, God does not want Christians to be the devil's billboard. Amen. You say, well, it's just a little one and it says Jesus loves me. You know, there's a passage of scripture, I believe it's back in the book of Isaiah, that talks about a trumpet. And when that trumpet sounds, you should understand that it has a meaning. But sometimes a trumpet will sound an uncertain sound. It's a sound that you can't quite make out. What is the meaning of that sound? When they were to go to worship in the temple, there was a certain sound blown in the temple. And anytime there was a meeting, they would blow a certain sound. But what if you heard a sound you didn't know? Can I tell you what? That is a picture of the life of the Christian to the world. They are saved, have God in them, but they look like the world. There is a direct contradiction to the world because our bodies are not glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew a good man who was in the Navy, and he had tattoos on his arms. And he was careful anytime he was in church to keep them covered up. He wasn't proud of them because that's what he did in the former life before he got saved. And that represented a whole different life that he lived. Amen. Can I tell you what? I don't care if it's a Christian tattoo. I don't care what kind it is. It really doesn't matter. Our body is supposed to be glorifying the Lord. Amen. And we shouldn't let our bodies allow us to have... I saw a guy with tattoos all over his neck. Don't send forth the world an uncertain sound. We should send forth a clear message by our body, how our body lives in glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, by the way, while I'm at it, I'll just start hitting on ladies being modest. I didn't hear many amens on that one, so I'll just add a few minutes to that subject. You say you're being ornery. Yeah, I can be ornery a little bit sometimes. But let me tell you something, ladies. Don't wear low-cut things. A lady should dress in a way to direct attention to her face and the beauty that God gave her face. But you should never dress in such a way as to attract attention to your body. Amen. Men are typically attracted by sight. Women are typically affected by feel, by touch, typically. And God wants every lady to dress in such a way as to not cause attention. Years ago, we were in church, and I was pastoring a church, and there was a teenage girl that was coming in. I'm telling you what, she dressed bad. And she would go into the teen class, and she didn't have a mini skirt on. She had a micro skirt on. I'm telling you, it was horrible. And she'd go in the teen classroom and sit there with all the boys, and all the boys weren't paying attention to the lesson. And it was a distraction. Let me tell you something. A Christian shouldn't act that way and dress that way. You know why? We're bought with a price. Amen. Anything that is tight fitting will reveal a woman's body. That's not glorifying God in our body. Amen. You say, well, you're old fashioned, Pastor. I know it's a hopeless case too. Amen. Don't plan to change anytime. By the way, the only time I'm going to change is if God ever changed his word. And I know he won't do that because it's forever settled in heaven. Amen. God said that. I'm simply saying what we do in our body glorifies the Lord. Amen. It either does or it doesn't glorify the Lord. Sometimes a Christian will start smoking dope. Let me tell you something. Don't ever try your first dope. Amen. Young person, you better be afraid of that stuff. You better have a fear that in your heart says, I'm staying a million miles away from that dopey stuff. By the way, marijuana is starting to be accepted by everything. I'm telling you, it's dope.
Yes, sir.
It's not to calm your nerves. It's to get you high. That's what it's for. I'm saying to you, we have a body. God bought your body. He purchased you on the cross of Calvary. He owns you. Give him what's his. We glorify God in our body. I want to glorify God in my body. What if you drove by, see me out mowing the lawn and my big old belly's hanging out of my shirt? Actually, don't even have a shirt on. I'm in my cutoffs out there mowing the lawn. I'm sorry to paint pictures into your mind. I hate to do that. I'm not really trying to do that. But I want to tell you, what would you think of me? Amen? You say, well, it doesn't really matter what's on the outside. Okay, well, next Sunday I'm going to come preach. I'm going to wear all leathers. And I'm going to have a spiky dog collar. And I'm going to have a great big purple hairdo that goes up like this. And I'm going to stand up here and say, now, folks, open your Bible, please. You're going to say, something done happened to the pastor. Where has he been? Amen. Yeah. By the way, it's the same for a Christian. If you name the name of Christ, we are supposed to keep our bodies. See, the world, We're not supposed to be influenced by the world. We're supposed to influence the world. Why? We're bought with a price. Don't let the world change your body. Secondly, by the way, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. Let me go over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Notice what the Apostle Paul said here, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Hey, young man, hear me. When that garbage flashes across your, they pop some pop-up screen, comes across your computer, you better be scared to death. You better not take the second look. Get rid of it. Amen. Somebody sends you that nasty text or that nasty email. Text them and say, oh, block them. Block them. Don't let that stuff into your heart and your mind. It will cause you to have an ungodly appetite in your flesh. We don't want to be feeding this flesh. Paul said, I take my body, I keep my body in subjection. My body has to listen and obey the Holy Spirit of God. You see that? See, we're made of the body, the soul, and the spirit. And one of those three is going to lead us. Either the body, the soul, or the spirit. And God says he is supposed to lead us because he bought us and saved us. The body is in third place. The spirit and the soul are leading us, not the body. You know, a lot of Christians got that exactly around. Well, preacher, I would go to church if they just had that rock band up there and get the drums up there. Let me tell you something. We're not trying to appeal to the flesh. We're trying to appeal to the spirit. Why? Because we're supposed to glorify God in our body and our spirit. Amen. While I'm at it, I'll just get on music. Amen? I sometimes feel like just taking the whole truck and backing it up and unloading the whole truck. Feels good. Amen? Yeah? Hey, what kind of music you listen to? I want to tell you something. There's an ungodly, evil kind of music out there. And by the way, any music that makes your body move and gyrate and want to dance around, you better be careful of that. Because Paul said, I keep my body in subjection. Amen. Music has an influence. You ever been walking through Walmart and they're playing something before you know it? You're skipping to it and you don't even know it. It shows we are hardwired by God to be influenced and affected by music. Music has an effect. And that's why we got to keep the right kind of music in our homes. That's why we have to keep good music in our homes. And stay away from the beady, ungodly music that is of the world. Why? Because our body has to be under subjection to God. You say, preacher, you just don't like to have any fun. I'll tell you what. I've seen a lot of lives, their body gets out of control, and they end up doing things that ruins their fun for the rest of their life. Amen. Hey, boys and girls, don't go getting in a car and go out. Used to be Lover's Lane. I don't know what they do today. They probably don't care. They probably just go get a room somewhere. I don't know. But let me tell you something. You keep your body under subjection. Amen. That's what God said. Why? He bought us. He paid for us. I'm not my own. I cannot dictate what I do. God said, I bought you, I paid for you, and I want your body to glorify and honor me. Amen. Amen. Some of the country music today. You know, the old Western music, you know, Roy Rogers. That used to be good. That's good stuff. Amen. And riding in the saddle, Strawberry Roan. How many of you know Strawberry Roan? Brother Watson, you're the only one who knows Strawberry Roan. Amen. You're the only intelligent person in this church. Amen. No. Those were good old songs. But somewhere along the line, country music turned into Billy Joe going down, having a one-night stand with Bobby Sue. And after they rubbed around each other on the dance floor and decided to go get a motel, had a one-night stand, and call it love, that isn't love. That's lust. That's lust. Can I tell you, you can't please God when you have lust in your heart and your mind. So what do? You get rid of it. Amen? Potiphar's wife tempted Joseph. You know what he did? He left her his coat and got out of there. Well, Pastor, I think I'm spiritually mature enough to handle temptation. Yeah, as long as you get out of there 2 miles away, you can handle the temptation. And, you know, we trust our flesh more than we trust the Word of God. Don't trust the flesh, trust the Word of God. What kind of music are music? Secondly, we're supposed to glorify God in our spirit. Our spirit. Go to Proverbs chapter 14, please. Proverbs chapter 14. I just want to show you for a few verses here. Proverbs 14 about our spirit. You know, the Bible teaches us we got to have a right spirit and keep a good spirit. First of all, the first spirit to avoid is a hasty spirit. Proverbs 14, verse 29. Notice what it says. Proverbs 14, verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A hasty spirit. Listen, always avoid a spirit that gets mad real quick. A hot, quick anger. Boy, if you have that, you got to put that on the altar all the time. I don't care even if it's righteous indignation. It'll lead you in the wrong direction if it's quick, hot anger. You got to be careful. A hasty spirit. There's another kind of spirit to have. Look at chapter 15 and verse 13. Notice 15, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. We're supposed to have a cheerful and a merry spirit. Amen? Amen. A cheerful spirit. It's not spiritual to walk around with your lower lip down all the time. I'm a pious Christian. I'm spiritual. Well, somebody ought to tell your face because it did not get the message. A cheerfulness. There ought to be a joyful spirit in a Christian. Amen. Hey, we're children of the King. We're God's children. Thank God he saved us from this old world, saved us from death and hell. I want to go into this world. Yeah, by the way, you ever see how the world looks? Go walk in the store sometime. Everybody looks like, People aren't happy anymore. It used to be you go in a grocery store and, hey, how are you doing? People smile. Now they think you're up to something. Right? You walk by, I like to say hi to the kids in the grocery store. I say, hi, how are you doing? The mama grabs the child. Stay away from me, you crazy man. Amen. I don't know what they think. It used to be people were happy. And I do understand sometimes we live in a wicked world. We do. I get it. But you know what? A Christian needs to show the Lord by having a cheerful spirit. You know, by the way, always avoid criticism. Don't ever be a critic. Don't get a critical spirit. You know, a critical spirit, all they can do is find negativity and wrong. And they become sour. I'm going to buy a bunch of Sour Patch Kids. Men, so they can walk around and be sour. I mean, they're the kind of people that can see the tarnish on the gold at the end of the rainbow. You know people like that? Just negative spirit, bad spirit. If you ever sit by somebody and you always sense they're a critical spirit, you know what you ought to do? Move down about three spots. Amen. I don't want that. Amen. I want that critical spirit. I want to stay happy. I want to stay joyful. Amen. And you know, sometimes a Christian will get that a fault-finding spirit. Goodness. Just I found a new lady. She's been visiting churches. She's on, I think, church number 5. She joined or been to like 5 different churches in the past year. And all she can do is find wrong with them. You know what she doesn't understand is that her spirit is causing that. And don't get me wrong. You should be in the right kind of church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't do that. What I'm saying is no church is going to be perfect. But a fault finder, you know, this poor lady, you know what she'll do? She'll be out of church before long. Because no church is perfect enough for her. And then where will her kids be in life? So I say you don't ever allow the wrong spirit to come in. Don't ever allow a critical spirit. And then there is a comparing spirit. You know, somebody always comparing themselves with somebody else. Well, I have a little bit better this, or I do this a little bit better. You know, that neighbor across the street gets a new car, and guess what? You got to go get a new car too because they got one. A comparing spirit. Well, I think I'm the most spiritual person in the church. Well, Rudy Toot Toot, amen. You are more spiritual. You know, some people, sometimes that happens. And you know what? Yeah, there's some times when you have to tell yourself, you know what, self, you're a knucklehead. Self, you're not thinking right. Don't wait for the preacher to preach that sermon to you. You preach to yourself. Amen? Keep that spirit right. Keep it good. Keep it joyful. And always be flowing, always be giving to others. Amen? Well, that's a giving spirit. Be a blessing to other people. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. You know why? Again, because God owns us. See, because God owns us, he died on the cross and gave his life for us. So when he moved inside of us, we have his spirit, and that's a giving spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So I say to you tonight, have a giving spirit. Don't ever find fault in this. Well, you know, they just didn't put the right color toilet paper in the church again. I'm going to have to talk to the cleaning person about that. It used to be white, and now they put purple in there. I don't know. All I know is I learned after today my favorite color is blue. Amen. That's all I know. Amen. But you know, it's easy to let that spirit get out of control. It's easy to let a bad spirit kind of take over. And you know what we have to do? We have to be critical of ourselves sometimes and say, Pastor Larson, you need to stop being critical. Now, not you say Pastor Larson, me say Pastor Larson. Amen. You say your name when I say Pastor Larson. Don't say Pastor Larson. Amen. Amen. But these spirits can control us. Look at chapter 13, verse 32. Chapter 16, look at verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Ruling your spirit. That pleases God. Ruling our spirit. Or sometimes. And, you know, we all have different personalities. But you know what? Sometimes the perfectionist personality can cost you some difficulty because everybody will make you mad. Right? Nobody's organized. Right? Okay, I'll get off of that one. Amen. Better get on another one. And then there is this spirit where you don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Que sera, sera. Whatever happens, happens. Let the kids run around. Let everything go to pot. I really don't care. Can I tell you something? That is not a controlled spirit. Amen. Controlling our spirit. Why? We belong to God. We're His. He owns us. He bought us. Give God what He paid for. Look at chapter 17, verse 27. Chapter 17, verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. You know, there's some people don't try to understand anybody else. They don't try to understand anybody else. Everybody irritates them, bothers them. So listen, sometimes somebody's just having a bad day. Right? You know, sometimes they just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Sometimes they've got a burden that weighs in their heart. And sometimes we become judgmental. And we lose focus on other people. Understanding other people. Amen? Now let me tell you something. I don't think it's talking about understanding somebody's in sin. Oh, well, they just had to have that drink because it helps them feel better. Now, I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is don't have a short fuse or lose a compassion for some people that are just going through trouble. You know what I learned long ago? There's some people that have to deal with real troubles every day. Every day. There's people that have to deal with real problems every day. And it affects them. And can I tell you what our answer ought to be to them? We ought to have an understanding spirit. Amen? That's a Christ-like spirit. The spirit and the body together are two of God's main focuses on which we're to glorify Him. And dear Christian, let me say to you, don't discount either one of them. Don't minimize the value of both the body and the spirit glorifying God, because the body and the spirit both belong to God. Now, maybe in your life, you could look at your life today and say, you know what? In my body, I could please the Lord a little better in this way. I could please the Lord better. Why don't you say, Lord, I'm going to commit that thing to you. I'm going to please you in that area of my life. I'm going to take my body and I'm going to let my body be yours because you paid for me, Lord. You bought me and I want to glorify you. Same with your spirit. Lord, I've had a wrong spirit about something in my life. It hasn't been the right spirit. Lord, I need to have the right spirit because, Lord, I want to glorify you. You died for me on an old rugged cross. You bore the scrapes of the wood in your back every time you pulled yourself up to breathe on that old rugged cross. The blood poured down that old rugged cross so that I might be free of sin and guilt. You took the crown of thorns and planted it on your head, and the blood didn't trickle down, it flowed. But you did that for me. Lord Jesus, the least I can do is glorify you in my body and in my spirit, which belong to you. Let's live that way tonight. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.